All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our special board meeting today. It is 8:34, and I am calling the meeting to order. Why don't we first begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, and we could pull the flag up.
Okay, let me get started on that.
Okay. All right. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible,
liberty, and justice for all. All right. Very good. All right. So now moving on to the agenda, board member roll call.
Okay. Gloria Alvarado. Gloria Alvarado. Natalie Alvarez. Natalie Alvarez. Jesse Benron.
Here.
Kathy Boyd.
Here.
Rob Claudio. Rob Claudio. Eric Codorniz. Eric Codorniz. Mike Daniel. Mike Daniel. Larray Holland Lees. Larray Holland Lees. Terry Hollingsworth.
Present.
Chris Horton.
Present.
Trung Lee. Trung Lee. John Luker.
Here.
Annalisa Lukes.
Present.
Doug Mangione. Doug Mangione. Barbara Mason. Barbara Mason.
She's here.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I had to double unmute. Barbara Mason's present.
Okay, thank you. Gary Matkin.
Here.
Ernesto Medrano. Ernesto Medrano. Carlos Oregon.
Here.
Mike Ruane. Mike Ruane. I see your picture there, Michael.
I muted him. He's present. I muted him. He may just not realize it.
Todd Sward. Todd Sward.
Here.
There you are. Okay.
Good morning.
And good morning. Brielle, I'm sorry, Tumor. Bye.
Yes, here.
And you? Okay, thank you. So we have one, two.
Three, we have quorum. I'm counting for you.
Okay, thank you.
We're good.
Yeah, quorum.
All right, very good. All right, moving on to public comment.
If there is anyone who would, a member of the public that would like to address the committee, please raise your hand. If you're calling in, you can hit *9 on your phone. Check the participants list here. We have one person with their hand raised. I can hit the allow to talk button. Is that Okoto Yance?
Yes, this is Alex Kodiance. I work for a career college, Concord Career College. We have some different contracts with some of the OC One Stops, and I wanted to join in the meeting today, just see how we could learn to collaborate a little bit more in some of the opportunities.
Okay. Okay, thank you for joining.
Thank you.
Jenna, is it okay if I address that? I don't know if that's out of order.
I'm sorry. If it is off agenda topic, then no, it would be a Brown Act violation to address.
Any other comments?
No, I believe that's the only person who has had their hand raised.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Adriana. All right, we have a few items to cover today for this special meeting. The first on the action items is the America's Job Centers of California Comprehensive Affiliate Specialized Certification. Karma, are you going to speak to that?
Okay. Great. Every 2 years by law, we are required to certify our comprehensive one-stop center and affiliated locations throughout Orange County. As you well know, we only have one comprehensive, which is the Garden Grove location, and then we have several other locations that are considered affiliates. There are certain criterias that need to be met by federal law for the comprehensive center, so I'm just gonna kind of give you a reminder of what those are. As you all know, some of the staff as well as the board members participated in going out to each of the sites to evaluate the baseline criteria as well as the certification indicator assessment to ensure that services are being delivered in accordance with the federal and state standards, excuse me. When the staff and the board members went out and evaluated the comprehensive center, they were responsible for verifying that there is a signed MOU agreement in place for the comprehensive center, that the AJCC has implemented board-defined roles and responsibilities for the AJCC operator, as well as the Dalton Dislocated Worker Service Provider, the AJCC Center is complying with the Equal Opportunity Individuals with Disabilities Act in accordance with WIOA Section 188, and then that the AJCC meets the regulatory requirements to be considered a comprehensive AJCC. So that was part one, is to actually evaluate the facility to ensure that it is in compliance with those standards. Part two was the assessment indicator. For that, there are seven standards that the board members and staff were responsible for evaluating. Number one is to ensure that the AJCC offers universal access for individuals with barriers. And when we say universal access, that means anyone can come in and utilize the resource room and services in the one-stop center. But then that we also provide support to individuals with barriers to employment. For example, that we ensure that individuals who are just as involved have access to the facilities, individuals with disabilities, the homeless, and so on. So that was criteria number one, is to ensure that universal access is provided. Number two is that the AJCC actively supports the one-stop system through effective partnerships. That means that in our facilities that we do have as many, if not all, the mandatory partners co-located in the facility, or that we have a referral mechanism in place to ensure that referrals can be made through all the required partners by the law. Number three is that the AJCC provides integrated customer-centered services, meaning that it is not one size fits all, that it's actually met people where the services provided meet people where they are. So it's customized for each person. Number four is that the AJCC is an on-ramp for skill development and attainment of industry-recognized credentials that meets the needs of the target regional sectors and pathways. So ensuring that we do have training aligned with the in-demand industries and sectors in Orange County. Number five is that the AJCC actively engages with industry and labor to support regional sector strategies through the integrated business service strategy that focuses on quality jobs. So making sure that we are providing access to livable wages, employment opportunities that are not in declining industries. Number six is that the AJCC has high quality, well-informed and cross-trained staff. So making sure that the staff that are in the actual one-stop facilities, whether it's the operator or the Title I Career Service or the youth staff, are all trained on service delivery and providing proper access to resources for the participants that we serve. And then number seven is that the AJCC achieves business results through data driven continuous improvement. So those are the seven indicator assessments that each one of the board members and staff evaluated when visiting the facilities. Now, I want to share with you that when the first time that the staff and the board members went out, there was some staff of the service providers that were in attendance and they should not have been. And so in order to rectify that, I asked staff to go out again on their own without the board members, just to ensure that we evaluated everything. I think that part of the rules say that we have to ensure that there's no conflict of interest. And so it says that the entity that conducts the evaluation cannot be the AJCC program partner staff or Title I career service or dislocated worker provider. So to ensure that we met the integrity standards, we went out one more time without the board members, just staff only, to go through that checklist and ensure that everything was being met. So I just want to bring that to your attention in case that is questioned, because I do know that when the board members went out, that in some locations we had to have some of the partner staff there to provide us access. So to ensure integrity of this, we went out one more time just to ensure that it wouldn't be questioned that the decisions that were made were based on the influence of those staff members. So at this time, what you have attached that I hope that everyone pre-read is the outcomes from those evaluations. So staff Maritza compiled all of the responses into the attached sheets. It's about, I think, about 140 something pages that went through each location and evaluated the comprehensive and all the affiliate sites. Now, I want to bring to your attention that because the affiliate sites are not currently a part of the MOU, when we submit this to the state, I will be submitting it with a letter to the state that explains to them that we are submitting this to meet the deadlines of the law. However, we will be updating the MOU to include the affiliate sites, which would make this comprehensive assessment valid. Right now, it would not be valid for the baseline because the affiliate centers are not currently a part of the MOU. I mentioned this before, the reason why they're not a part of the MOU is we were waiting for the South County location, because when we update the MOU, or whenever we update the MOU, it has to go in front of this board as well as the Board of Supervisors. And so in order to avoid multiple requests made to this board and the Board of Supervisors, we made a decision to just wait till it's all done to submit it all together. I did send our regional advisor with the state a request or notice that of our intent to submit this. She didn't see that there was an issue with it at all. She agreed that go ahead and send it in, just with a note to explain why the affiliates are not a part of the MOU yet, and that she may require that I send her a draft of what the MOU might look like that lists the affiliates in there, but it wouldn't be accepted by the state until the MOU was in fully executed, basically. So with that said, we are requesting that the Workforce Development Board take action by approving the baseline criteria matrices for the AJCC certification and indicator assessment to allow us to submit it to the state, and if need be, allow the staff to make non-substantiated changes as required by the state. Are there any questions or concerns about the attached documents?
Any questions regarding the report?
Will there be another review when the South County facility opens up?
So, yes and no. So we're required to do this every 2 years. We can add this practice to that. But to be honest, once the South County is open, it would take you at least 6 months to a year to go back to evaluative services are delivered the way they're supposed to. So the answer is yes, we can, but you wouldn't do it at the open of the South County site. let me also make sure that I mention this, that a part of this also includes that we work with the one-stop operator to put in place a continuous improvement plan. So based on the results of these findings, we would go back to the one-stop operator and work on a continuous improvement plan based off of what we found when we evaluated the system, and ensure that the one-stop operator is implementing our continuous improvement plan as a work. So the board itself drafts a continuous improvement plan to the AJCC operator and ensures that the operator is basically correcting or addressing the areas of concern established by this board. So we can include, if we find any in this document and in our continuous improvement plan, if we have items that are in there, we can ensure that those same items are evaluated in the development of the South County location.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? And I want to personally thank Maritza for her orientation to this process. I found it to be very, very helpful to go to the Tustin shelter and actually tour and learn more about how they operate. I think that this is important for all board members to participate in each year. And I appreciate my partner who joined me because she had some knowledge and experience that I didn't have. So she was extremely helpful. So any questions regarding the report? Okay.
I move approval of the two recommendations if we're gonna bundle them. So I move approval.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second, Luke's.
Okay. Anyone oppose the approval? Okay, do we need to go around and take roll on the approval?
Is it gonna be for just the number one or number two separately? Is there just one vote for
just item one, five? I think it was stated on the record that they are moving both recommendation okay. one and two for item five. So we could do one roll call vote.
Okay, thank you, Jenna. Let's see, Gloria Alvarado is not here.
I am.
Oh, you are here.
I'm yes, I am.
Okay, may I have your vote, Gloria?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Natalie Alvarez, not here. Jesse Benra?
Aye.
Kathy Boyd?
Approved.
Rob Claudio, I believe, is not here. Rob? Eric Godorniz? Not here. Mike Daniel?
Yes.
Yes, okay, we're here. Lorray Holland Lees?
Aye.
And Terry Hollingsworth?
Approved.
Chris Horton?
Aye.
Trung Lee?
Hi, I'm joining by phone. I have some computer trouble this morning. So yes, I approve, yes.
Okay, thank you, Trung. John Luker?
Yes, approved.
Annalisa Lukes?
Aye.
Doug Mangione? Doug Mangione, do we have you on audio? Barbara Mason?
Aye.
Gary Matkin?
Approve.
Ernesto Medrano? Let's see here. No, I believe he's still absent. Carlos Odegon?
Approved.
Mike Ruane? Mike Ruane. Todd Sword.
Approved. Good job.
And Brenielle Tumor-Bias.
Approved.
Okay, I want to go back around. Does anybody else here know if Doug Mangione is present and Mike Ruane? No? Okay. Okay, so the motion passes.
Okay. Right. Thank you, Adriana. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on to their procurement policy. Karma, is that? Okay.
If I can bring your attention to page 146 of the 160 pages that you received. The request is to update our procurement policy. As you all know, the Workforce Development Board has in the past received some compliance findings based on procurement. As a result of those compliance findings and some recent compliance questions, we found it necessary to update the board's procurement policy. The last update to this procurement policy was in 2017. And since then, some of the federal standards have changed, meaning that, for example, the micro purchases and the small purchase limits had been increased by the federal government and the counties. So we have to align it with the state, the federal, and then the county standards. So what we're presenting today is basically an update to our procurement policy. This covers how the Workforce Development Board procures all contracts and agreements that use Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act funding. The only real change to this is honestly the limit, the dollar amount limits, taking micro to 10,000, small purchases to 250,000, and then highlighting sealed bids, where in the past we didn't necessarily highlight sealed bids as an option, but it was always a federal option to be able to do sealed bid proposals when appropriate. Are there any questions or concerns about this procurement policy and why we're presenting it to the board today?
Any questions?
It seems clear.
All right.
Reid, I'll move to approve.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second, Lukes.
Right.
Okay. Ready for a vote roll call?
Yes.
Okay. Gloria Alvarado?
Yes.
Natalie Alvarez, I'm still absent. Jesse Benron?
Aye.
Kathy Boyd?
Yes.
Rob Claudio, I believe is absent. Eric Codorniz, absent. Mike Daniel?
Yes.
Laura Holland-Lees? Lorraine?
Yes.
Sorry about that. Yes. Terry Hollingsworth?
Approved.
Chris Horton?
Aye.
Trung Lee?
Aye.
John Luker?
Approved.
Annalisa Lukes?
Aye.
Doug Mangione? Barbara Mason?
Aye.
Gary Matkin?
Approved.
Ernesto Medrano, I believe is still absent. Carlos Oregon?
Approved.
Mike Ruane? Mike Ruane. Todd Sward?
Approved.
And Brenielle Tumor-Bias?
Approved.
Okay. The item passes.
Okay. Great. Thank you. All right. And then our last order of business is the item number 7, fiscal audit requirements and resolution policy.
Yes. So I'd like to take your attention to page 157 of 160. This policy supersedes a policy by Orange County as well as the Orange County Development Board. I believe the last policy was dated 2003. What this policy does is set the standard for an organization that receives over 750 in federal funds that they must submit a single audit to the Orange County Workforce Development Board to be evaluated or reviewed in regards to their performance. So this policy is something that is standard in the federal law as well as the state law. The Orange County Workforce Development Board did not have a policy that met the 750,000 threshold. So this establishes that. So any service provider or vendor who receives $750,000 in federal awards must submit to the Orange County Workforce Development Board a copy of their single audit. Are there any questions or concerns?
And Karma, you do say this is a new policy, right?
This is a new policy for us, but it was, but it's a policy to supersede something that happened several years ago.
Okay.
And the county. So the county had one, but we as a workforce development board did not have one that met the 750,000 requirement. It also establishes our standards. So what happens if a service provider is to be found out of compliance with an area that's in that single audit report, what our corrective action process will be.
Okay.
Karma, I had a question. Who does the audit and what exactly are they, you know, what are their findings supposed to reveal?
Typically a third party accounting firm. So usually that service provider contracts a third party accounting firm to conduct an audit of all of their federal financial transactions during that period, that year. And they look at things from payroll, they look at expenditures. They basically evaluate all general accounting principles to ensure that nonprofit or that organization is acting in alignment with federal standards in terms of how you manage or control funding.
Got it, thank you.
Karma, can you clarify whether the audit would also review whether the provider...
Wait, I'm having a hard time hearing. I'm going to try to turn up some more. Can you please repeat?
Yeah, sure. Could you clarify whether an audit would also analyze whether a service provider gave the required services pursuant to a contract?
Or no.
Based on how they kept their financial records?
No, it's not like that. So what it is, so I'll give you some past experience. And some that I found in the past, they would evaluate whether or not did you submit your payroll taxes, right, for your employees? Did you keep your receipts? Did you charge for things that weren't allowable or shouldn't have been charged to that particular grant? Did you cost allocate appropriately? This is all financial. It doesn't evaluate program and it's outside of our audit. So for example, even if you didn't receive any money from the Workforce Development Board last year, I still want a copy of your audit from last year to see if you have standards in place to manage financial standards in place to manage federal grants. Does that make sense?
It does.
So it's not. So we do an audit of our own. So we send out a third party auditor to audit the money we give out, and we send out an auditor to monitor the program performance. But this is separate from that. This is a standard required by law, whether you got money from me or anyone else, to have a third party accounting firm audit your fiscal performance.
Yeah, I'm just going to make clear that this is not something that we're imposing on anyone. It's more. Anyone that, I mean, I work for a nonprofit, we have 750,000 more in federal revenue, so we have to do this. Anyone with $750,000 in federal revenue has to do this anyway, so it's just a matter of providing this document, right?
Right, and it's also setting the standard of what happens. So when I get it back, and let's say that audit says that you have some issues, I'm going to ensure that the issues you have with that particular pot of money, you're not having with mine, or with ours, sorry. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments? Do we have a motion to approve? Okay. Second?
I'll second Todd Sword.
Right. Roll call.
Okay, roll call for the vote. Gloria Alvarado?
Yes.
Natalie Alvarez? Jesse Benron?
Aye.
Kathy Boyd?
Yes.
Rob Claudio? Eric Odorniz? Mike Daniel?
Yes.
Lauren Holland-Lease.
Aye.
Terry Hollingsworth.
Approve.
Chris Horton.
Aye.
Trung Lee. Trung Lee. John Luker.
Approve.
Annalisa Lukes.
Aye.
Doug Mangione. Barbara Mason.
Aye.
Gary Matkin.
Approve.
Ernesto Medrano. Carlos Odegon.
Approved.
Mike Ruane. Todd Sward.
Approved.
Reniel Toomer Bias.
Approved.
Okay, and the item passes.
Okay, great. All right, so I think that completes all of the action items. Carmen, is there anything else that we need to discuss?
I apologize, mute again. That's all the action items. The only thing that I want to bring to your attention is the open house next week. We do have the two community-based organizations events on Monday and Thursday. We have low enrollment, so if you could forward that information over to any community-based organizations that would benefit from learning more about us and how to partner with us or how to send their clients to us, that would be very helpful. And when we talk about community-based organizations, we're referring to churches, nonprofits, recreation centers, anyone that serves the population that we are trying to serve. The other event is the business networking event on Wednesday. We have a low turnout for that as well. What we'd like for you to do is send it to any of your friends or anyone in your network that owns a business that could benefit from partnering with us to create employment opportunities, whether it's to create an OJT, a work experience, learn more about our LMI data. Please share that information with your business network so that we can bring more businesses in to develop those relationships. And then on Friday, we're having an appreciation ceremony for all of our partners. So that's just to tell the partners in our one-stop system and in the community, thank you for partnering with us. We're just gonna have light refreshments and just do a little bit of networking. So if you could share that information, I think I forwarded you guys a flyer. If you could share it with them again and encourage them to register for an Eventbrite so that I have enough refreshments to support everybody, I would really appreciate that. I think Annalisa also wants us to share something. So if you don't mind, I'd like to turn it over to Annalisa.
Thank you, Karma. Excuse me. I just want to say thank you to the team for helping us with next week's events, particularly the business services networking event. And I will, if it's all right with you, just send another reminder to you all as members of the board to get those invitations out to your network so that we can really leverage this opportunity to get more people to know about our story, our services, and the impact that we already make in this community. Thank you again to the team for all your hard work. Thoroughly appreciate it and looking forward to next week.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Well,
hey, this is Barbara. As the one-stop committee lead, I'd like to thank the team that volunteered their extra time, went to the one-stop, helped with the certification. I did that a few years back. I found it very educational, very helpful to actually go into the one-stops, meet with some of the people, see what we provide. So I think it was a worthwhile effort, and I appreciate the people that took extra time and supported that effort.
I agree with that. I'm interested in hearing about others' experience. How did you find that experience for those who participated in the AJCC certification process?
Hi, Terry, this is Jesse. I'll go. Overall, I found it very beneficial, especially being, you know, on the much newer side on the board member, like you really get an understanding of the services they provided. As listed, I think, you know, and I think we kind of talk about this a lot, you know, maybe just more proactive outreach from the one-stop centers to do some of, I think this open house is trying to do that, right? Find kind of like-minded partners who are working with individuals who are kind of WIOA eligible to try to expand the service instead of just kind of taking people as they come to the door, because that's probably, I think, smaller of a number than we'd like it to be. So that's really the one critique, but overall, it's a very helpful experience, particularly if you're newer, to really understand what this board is trying to do and what the service providers are trying to do.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, with that said, I'd like to thank you all for joining us today. Karma, when is our next board meeting?
That's a great question. Hold on.
Okay.
Full board meeting, when is it? November
24th.
Oh, great. Thank you.
November 24th. Okay.
Right before the holidays. And as a reminder, Brown Acts may require that we meet in person because the governor's directive.
The governor passed a bill that requires us to meet every 30 days in order to continue holding meetings virtually. So there would have to be an official vote by a quorum of the development board to continue holding meetings virtually. So that would require us to call a lot of special meetings in order to carry that on. And because the development board does meet quarterly, or unless, you know, if the decision is to call specials monthly, we could explore that. If not, we would be left going back in person.
Right. I'm curious if there might be a concern about meeting quorum as it's the day before.
Well, if we don't have any action items, we'll be okay. Now, the only issue with quorum is if we have action items that need to be addressed.
Are you not able to hear, Anna? I'm not sure if she heard your comment, Karma.
No, I can call her.
Okay. All right. All right. So we'll go ahead and adjourn. I'll give you back the gift of time. I'd like to thank everyone again for joining us today. And we will meet again on the 24th, possibly of November. So with that, have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.